Imagine you're flying a 9-seat turboprop into a mountain community. The kind of route where the fuel bill is the entire economic argument for whether that service survives. 40 cents per seat mile, maybe 50, the aircraft is paid off, the crew is efficient. But Jet A keeps climbing and the math gets harder every year. Now imagine the same route, same aircraft size, but your fuel is hydrogen, your powertrain has far fewer moving parts than the turbine you're running now, and the only thing coming out the exhaust is water vapor. That is not a pitch deck fantasy. That is the specific outcome a company called ZeroAvia is engineering. Right now, with test flights already in the logbook. I'm Vector on Clear Direct, here on Radio Hangar. Let's break this down. ZeroAvia was founded in 2017 by a man named Val Miftikov. He is not an aviation lifer. He came out of the technology world, electric vehicle infrastructure specifically, and that background shapes everything about how ZeroAvia approaches the problem. They are not trying to build a better jet engine, they are trying to replace the powertrain entirely. And the distinction matters enormously. Before I get into the engineering, this segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones, first solo private pilot, instrument rated CFI, the whole journey beautifully made and built to last. AviationSoul.com. Now, the core argument behind ZeroAvia starts with a hard physics problem. Battery electric aviation works beautifully for very short ranges and very small aircraft. The energy density of lithium-ion batteries, even with the best chemistry available today, cannot deliver the range and payload that regional aviation actually requires. A 40-mile training flight? Batteries can handle that today. A 300-mile sector in a 19-seat aircraft carrying freight and passengers? Batteries cannot. Not without a weight penalty that destroys the economics before you ever push the throttle forward. Hydrogen, by contrast, has roughly 3 times the energy density of Jet A by weight. The fuel itself is extraordinarily light. The problem has never been the energy. The problem has always been storage, infrastructure, and turning that hydrogen into useful thrust without setting your aircraft on fire. Here is the critical distinction that most coverage of hydrogen aviation gets wrong. ZeroAvia is not building a hydrogen combustion engine. Burning hydrogen to push pistons or drive a turbine is one approach, and it is being explored elsewhere. ZeroAvia is building hydrogen fuel cell powertrains. The hydrogen combines with oxygen from the air inside a fuel cell stack to produce electricity through an electrochemical reaction. That electricity drives electric motors. The only byproduct is water. No nitrogen oxides, no carbon dioxide, no particulates, no soot. If you understand how a battery works, you can understand a fuel cell. A battery stores chemical energy and releases it as electricity. A fuel cell does the same thing, but instead of a stored charge, you feed it fuel continuously. The hydrogen goes in one side, atmospheric oxygen on the other, and the electrochemical gradient drives current through the circuit. The reaction is clean, the efficiency is high compared to combustion, and the power output is controllable. The specific program that matters right now is called the ZA600. That is ZeroAvia's powertrain designed for 9 to 19-seat aircraft. Think Dornier 228 class, Twin Otter class, the regional feeders that connect small communities to the larger network. And here is what separates ZeroAvia from the vaporware crowd. They have actually flown it. Their test aircraft is a modified Dornier 228 operating out of Kemble Air Park in Gloucestershire, England. If you're not familiar with the Dornier 228, it is a twin turboprop regional aircraft. With a high wing design and good short field performance, 19 seats. It has been doing real work in remote areas for decades, including Alaska, Norway, and island routes across the world. It is a proven, predictable platform, and it makes a near-perfect testbed for exactly the reason you would expect. Two engines. During development testing, ZeroAvia runs the hydrogen-electric powertrain on one side while the original turboprop stays operational on the other. You have an escape valve. You can push the new system hard, gather real flight data across the performance envelope, and still have a known good power plant on your hip if something goes wrong. That is sound flight test engineering, not timidity. They flew that aircraft hydrogen fuel cell powering one engine position, real altitude, real airspeed, real aerodynamic loads on the airframe. Not a ground run, not a bench test. Actual flight. Those test flights were not long-range demonstrations. They were not intended to be. Development test flights at this stage are about proving the integration works. Does the fuel cell system deliver stable power across the throttle range? Does the thermal management stay in bounds when you push the system? Does the electric motor respond with the authority you expect? The data from those flights answered yes to all of those questions. Now let me be honest about the hard parts, because the hard parts are real. Hydrogen storage on aircraft is genuinely difficult. Liquid hydrogen, which gives you the best energy density for the volume, must be kept at approximately minus 253 degrees Celsius. That is within a few degrees of absolute zero. You need cryogenic tanks with serious insulation. Those tanks have mass, they have volume, they have boil-off characteristics, meaning the hydrogen slowly warms and converts from liquid to gas if you're not using it, and you have to manage that pressure. Every kilogram of tank hardware you add to the aircraft is a kilogram you cannot put in the cabin or the cargo hold. There is also compressed gaseous hydrogen storage, which avoids the cryogenic complexity but trades energy density to do it. You carry less hydrogen for the same tank volume. That trades range for simplicity. ZeroAvia is working with both approaches for different aircraft sizes. For the smaller end of the ZA-600 class, compressed hydrogen is workable. As you move toward larger programs and longer ranges, liquid hydrogen becomes attractive because the energy density advantage compounds. The noise profile of hydrogen electric aircraft deserves mention here. Electric motors are significantly quieter than turbines. If you have ever stood near a test stand during a turboprop run-up versus a full-power electric motor test, the difference is striking. For routes into noise-sensitive communities, that is not a minor footnote. It could be a meaningful competitive advantage that reshapes which routes become viable. Ground infrastructure is the other honest challenge, and it may be the larger one in the near term. Hydrogen fueling at airports does not exist at scale today, not even close. The trucking industry, transit agencies, and industrial sectors are building out hydrogen distribution networks, but aviation is not yet plugged into that infrastructure in any meaningful way. The result is that the first commercial hydrogen electric routes will not be general network operations. They will be specific city pairs where an airline or regional operator made a deliberate infrastructure investment at both ends of the route. That is not a fatal flaw. It is a deployment reality that shapes the business model and the timeline. Alaska Airlines has invested in ZeroAvia. That is worth examining because Alaska is not spending capital on a press release. They operate an extensive regional network in the Pacific Northwest, including routes to communities that have very limited transportation alternatives. For Alaska, sustainable regional aviation is not an abstract virtue signal. It is an operational question that affects the economics of routes they have to fly, regardless of fuel cost. Beyond the ZA-600, ZeroAvia has a larger development program called the ZA-2000 that targets aircraft in the 40 to 80 seat class, the de Havilland-8 class. Regional turboprops doing serious work on serious routes that the commercial network depends on. The ZA-2000 is earlier in development and the timeline is more uncertain, but it represents the segment where the economic argument for hydrogen gets even more compelling. The fuel burn on a 70-seat regional turboprop is significant. If hydrogen electric powertrains can match or exceed that range at lower operating cost while eliminating emissions, the airline interest shifts from reputational to genuinely financial. Let me talk about the regulatory path, because this is where honest analysis requires some patience. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, does not have a hydrogen propulsion certification framework today. The European Union Aviation Safety Agency, which we call EASA, is further along in developing the regulatory structure, but it is still early work. This is not obstruction. This is the reality of certifying a fundamentally new energy system on aircraft carrying passengers. Hydrogen on an aircraft introduces hazard scenarios that the existing certification frameworks were simply not written to address. Hydrogen is flammable across a much wider concentration range in air than Jet A vapor. It is invisible when it burns in daylight conditions. Cryogenic systems introduce failure modes that turbine aircraft certification has never had to consider. The certifying authorities are doing the work. They are writing special conditions, developing means of compliance documents, and building the test requirements. But that process takes years, not quarters. ZeroAvia's timeline for first commercial operations has moved from their original projections. I will be direct about that because it matters. Development timelines in aviation almost always extend. The physics are hard, the certification requirements are rigorous, and the infrastructure dependencies add variables outside any single company's control. What has not moved is the underlying engineering argument. Hydrogen fuel cells work. The energy density advantage over batteries is real and large. The emissions profile is genuinely clean rather than just lower emission. The question before the industry is execution and timeline, not whether the fundamental approach is sound. Here is a number worth sitting with. Roughly 45% of commercial aviation carbon dioxide emissions come from routes shorter than 1,500 kilometers. That is the exact segment ZeroAvia is targeting, not because 1,500 kilometers is arbitrary, but because that is where hydrogen fuel cells can realistically compete on range with current technology. You do not need to solve hydrogen for transoceanic routes to move the needle significantly on aviation's total emissions picture. You need to solve it for the regional feeders. The International Air Transport Association, or IATA, has set the industry's net zero emissions target for 2050. Sustainable aviation fuel, which we call SAF, is the dominant pathway most carriers are planning around today. But SAF has its own supply constraints. Demand is outpacing production capacity. Feedstock availability is a long-term concern. Hydrogen provides a hedge. It provides an alternative pathway that does not depend on biofuel supply chains. What does this mean for you as a pilot, whether you fly GA or regional carriers in the near term? Probably nothing that changes your pre-flight tomorrow. The first commercial hydrogen electric aircraft will serve specific routes between airports with hydrogen infrastructure. They will not show up at the local FBO next year. But the medium-term picture is different. Every technology that reshapes powertrains eventually filters through the fleet. GPS started on airliners and military platforms. Now it is in every panel. Autopilot started as a heavy iron requirement. Now it is a retrofit option on aircraft built before some of its early users were born. The technology pipeline matters. If hydrogen electric powertrains reach certification and prove commercially viable in the 9 to 19 C-class, you will eventually see that approach in aircraft that look very much like the turboprops flying regional routes today. The cockpit will feel familiar. The ground operations will be different. The performance envelope will be similar or better, because electric motors deliver full torque from 0 revolutions per minute in a way that a turbine cannot replicate. Climb power immediately from the moment the throttle moves. The maintenance and technical training picture will also change. Fewer moving parts means different inspection requirements, different failure modes, and different troubleshooting logic. The AMP community around these aircraft will need to adapt, and that transition will take investment and lead time to happen at scale. ZeroAvia has done something that matters in this industry. They got a hydrogen electric aircraft into the air. They are running a real development program with real investors who have real financial exposure. They are engaging certification authorities on the regulatory framework rather than assuming someone else will build it. And they picked a specific tractable market segment instead of trying to boil the ocean. The data tells an interesting story when you look at where the other big bets in this space have landed. Universal Hydrogen, which was pursuing modular hydrogen capsules loaded like cargo, closed operations in 2023. Their approach had real technical merit but ran out of runway before it ran out of ideas. That closure was a genuine setback for the sector and a reminder that being technically right is not the same as being commercially viable. ZeroAvia has stayed disciplined. Regional aircraft, fuel cell, not combustion. 9 to 19 seats first. That is the kind of focused execution that actually has a chance in an industry where the certification clock runs independently of your burn rate. The timeline will move again, count on it, but the direction is right. My sources today include ZeroAvia's technical publications, Aviation Week, Aerospace America, and reporting from the International Council on Clean Transportation. More on power plant technology and what is actually moving in the certification pipeline at radiohanger.com. I'm Vector. See you next time.